And we want to read together a lengthy portion, the first 46 verses. I thought about reading less, but I think it would be good to have the whole story, the whole narrative in mind. So we'll begin there at verse 1 and read down through the 46th verse. This familiar story about Lazarus, and yet very, as we know, very significant as well. So begin reading again at verse 1, John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Amen. We'll end the reading there at that verse 46. And again, we look for God's blessing upon the word as it's sown in our hearts and hearing this morning. Let's do pray, and then we'll come to look at this passage together. Our Father in heaven, we come again here on the earth, and we desire, Lord, that fresh blessing of the heavenly doctrine, the heavenly influence of Thy Spirit to come down upon us. O God, we confess again that our hands are dirty, but our hearts are corrupted. And yet, Lord, we come to Jesus, the resurrection and the life. We believe in Him. We look to Him for the cleansing by the precious blood that He shed upon Calvary's tree. Lord, as that thief, the other malefactor that rebuked the one that railed on Him, as he said to Jesus Himself, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, Lord, today we would pray, remember us as we come to thy word. We might be with Christ here. In his name we pray. Amen. In this great story we have just read of Lazarus's raising from the dead, we often draw comfort as well as instruction And as I was preparing for this sermon today, I read Philip Henry, which is Matthew Henry's father, on Christ being our resurrection. And it's a very edifying sermon. But I noticed in it that he spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ as our resurrection in three ways. One of a spiritual resurrection. You can see that in John 5:25. I'll just read that verse. We're not going to spend direct time on that today. But John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. They're not speaking so much, not really at all, of the body, but the soul. Spiritual salvation. In other words, the resurrection from spiritual death unto spiritual life. Also a figurative one. And that is what we might call a quickening or a reviving. A raising from the dead in that way. We'll actually come to look at that more in detail, so we won't go through some of those texts right now. But then there's the proper one. A proper resurrection. In other words, we might say a physical. We could also say it maybe that way. And our text that we read this morning, you know, has that in view, particularly with Lazarus rising from the dead. Of course, Martha also referring to the last day of the resurrection of the dead. And of course, we know the just and the unjust shall come forth, the one to great joy and hallelujahs, the other to condemnation and torment. And crying out in that torment. And so I think that in this chapter of John 11, we obviously have what Philip Henry called the proper resurrection, Lazarus being raised from the tomb. But I think we also see something of the figurative resurrection as well. Because Mary and Martha were downcast. They were troubled. They were in affliction and distress. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ raised them from it, brought them back up from that figurative death. We want to always, on the other hand, emphasize the resurrection of Christ. Never want to forget that Christ rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 is one long exposition of that. And I've taken a quote for our bulletin from a new book I'm reading by one of my former professors, Rhett Dodson, called With a Mighty Triumph. But his whole book basically goes through, it's not real big, but it's, 150 pages or something, but it's expounding 1 Corinthians 15. I say it's a long and glorious treatment of the resurrection of Christ and thereby our resurrection. So, never want to de-emphasize that, but I think we also see this figurative resurrection in this passage and in throughout the Scriptures. So I want to come to that just now. And the first point we want to make is, what is this figurative resurrection? What is it? Well, it is, as we said just a minute ago, a reviving of God's people. Hosea chapter 6, 1 and 2. We see this clearly, I think. So Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Get it here. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. They were already the children of God. They were already his own people. But they had sinned. But they were in affliction. They were in judgments. And so Hosea is exhorting them from the Lord, of course, as the Lord's messenger, to return. And when they would return, and when the God would heal them, he, it says, he hath torn, he hath smitten, but he will heal, he will bind us up. It's called in that second verse a reviving. He will raise us up and we shall live. It's like a resurrection, the type of a resurrection. Israel was under judgments. Perhaps you and I there are under some of God's chastisements. Could say it that way as well. For our own waywardness, our own sin, our own unbelief. This is, of course, directly to Israel. But, remember Romans 15:4. And it's great comfort to us. Uses that word as well, but it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Might have hope. The things written in Hosea about being revived, about being raised again, as it were, are written for you and me to learn that with these Scriptures before us, with these Scriptures in our hearts, with these Scriptures in our own belief, we may have hope. Now that's patience. That patience gives us comfort. God will fulfill His Word. Maybe not in the exact time, and sometimes surprises us in the manner, but He fulfills. But if we return to the Lord, there's that promise of reviving, of resurrection, of living again. Because you remember, I'm sure you, if you've been a Christian very long, you may recall how that sometimes it seems when you're in these afflictions and you can't seem to overcome them, these spiritual maladies, the circumstances that contribute to our unbelief, to our forgetfulness of the Lord, or for our lapsing in the duties that keep us strong in faith and in grace. In those times, it seems that we're dead. It seems we've lost the life of the Spirit. And yet, what is God's word to His people? Return. It's for us. But that's what it is. As far as this figurative resurrection, it's a reclaiming. It's putting in a new quickening, a new life into the soul of His people. And so it's like being resurrected. It's like having life again. If we go back to our text in John 11, the means of it, particularly the end of it, what it will do is to increase and bring back faith, as we sort of mentioned already. He said, I am glad, verse 15, for your sakes that I was not there. In other words, that Lazarus died In fact, he was buried 4 days. Why was he glad? Not because Lazarus died. We read together that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He was touched with the feeling of the death of his friend whom he loved. He wasn't glad about that. But he goes on to say, he was glad to the intent ye may believe. Ye may believe. That's what it is, to bring us back into the exercise of a faith that may be a little bit dormant, a little bit rusty. It's what Hosea is saying as well, that we'll be living again. Living again. The faith has gotten weak, so much so that we feel almost hopeless. Who is it for? It's our second thought. We'll probably spend most of our time right here. We mentioned it's for the people of God. It's addressed to Israel and Hosea. Of course, here in John 11, it's addressed to his disciples. Of course, we would include Martha and Mary too, because they needed that strength, and they needed that reviving, that figurative resurrection from their own discouragement, their own depression, their own questions and confusion. Lord, why did you not come? We told you in time that Lazarus was sick. Yet Jesus tarried still 2 days in the same place on purpose. Brother, I want to point out, as we read there together in John 11, that the ones whom this figurative resurrection is for, the words, those who are fallen into some sort of spiritual death, not completely, these are redeemed folks, but their afflictions in their soul are so great, so strong, they feel death-like. See, often in Psalm 119, the psalmist cries out to quicken me. He was a saved man. He was a man that looked forward to Christ's coming as his Redeemer. Yet he often said, quicken me. Make me alive. I want to say it's not to those who are outside of Christ. They need the first and the spiritual resurrection. They need life from spiritual death, that are in the world, that are without Christ, they're without hope, because they're still in their sins. But this is for the believer. Notice what it says back in John 11, in verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Then if you look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When Christ on purpose leaves us into a situation of affliction, When he leaves and he tarries, even though we've sought him, it's not because he doesn't love us. He loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. In fact, they knew it. They were assured of it. They did not doubt his love. Because when they sent there in verse 6, his sister said, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Christ's love is not like ours. It does not wax very strong and very powerful, and we can feel it, and then, well, he gets tired of us, or and he his love wanes and it's thin and little. Now Jesus said in John 13 that he loved his own unto the end. He can't stop loving us. He loved us in eternity when Christ gave us to him in his decree of election. And he loves us into eternity. When that prayer is answered that he said, Father, I will, that they which thou hast given me, back in eternity, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that he had even before he came down here. He's going back, and he's back now, of course. He loves you and me the same. The same. Malachi says what? I change not, it's the Lord speaking. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He does not change. His love is the same. Though to our perception, we may not see it. Because we would expect, just like Mary and Martha, Lord, thou lovest Lazarus. He's sick. Come, heal him. He didn't come. He stayed put. He did not move in our direction, we could say. And it's thrown them into somewhat of a downcast, confusion, and questioning. They could understand why. Why? But it's not only just those whom the Lord Jesus Christ loves. It's the same people that love Him. They love Him. They were His friends. It seems that He was there many times. If you look at verse 2, it says, It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And you can read about that, one of the accounts in the very next chapter, chapter 12. And verse 3 particularly, and following. But she took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Of course, Judas Iscariot, the one who had the bag, rebuked her for such waste, he thought. But he didn't really care for others, ostensibly the poor, but he was a thief, etc. But this is a great indication, a great demonstration of the love of Mary for Jesus. It wasn't that Christ was saying to them, well, you don't love me. I love you, but you don't love me, so I'm going to hold back. These dear ones loved Jesus. Brothers, you and I might be in a condition that needs spiritual reviving. This figurative resurrection. Even when we love Christ. It may not always be that we're in affliction for sin, but we've been denied some grace, some favor that we sought the Lord for. And Lord, in His love, tarries. Even though our love has gone out to Him, our cry has gone out as these dear ladies to the Lord, and most likely Lazarus himself would have asked them, could you see if Jesus, our friend, could come and heal me? Because he wasn't dead yet when they sent to get him. The Lord tries us or tests us. And it's good. We have a number of children with us. I'm so happy. I should have said, welcome to them, my nieces and nephews, my sister-in-law. Very glad to have them. As well as my own, but In God's will, you'll come to faith in Christ. Maybe many of you are already. But you need to remember that not everything in the Christian life is easy or as expected from our perspective. But again, hold yourself to that great rock that Jesus loves His people and that we are to love Him. And hold on to that love even when the circumstances, even when His dealings, Christ's dealings with our souls, with our circumstances, with our problems, with our prayers, are not exactly what we expected, are not what we wanted, and what we thought for sure would be for His good, His glory, and our comfort. He tests us here. He tries us. He does so because He has greater things in store. You know that if Jesus had come when Lazarus was sick, obviously He could have healed him. And that would have been a great miracle in itself, because obviously, or it seems at least, that this sickness was so serious that he died very quickly. And it seems that these dear ladies were probably very self-denying, didn't want to trouble the Master, except in a serious situation, even though they were very close friends. And so they didn't. They waited, it seems, right to the end. Lord, please come. And He didn't come. But He tries us this way to do us greater good. In verse 15 again, we said that one of the ways that, one of the ends that Christ uses to give us reviving is to strengthen our faith. He said He was glad for their sakes that He was not there. This is the disciples, so this is not Mary and Martha directly. To the intent ye may believe. To the intent ye may believe. In who and what? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He said to Mary, Martha, just there in verse 25, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Well, he's there again, directing her to the truth, to the words of Christ, to the words of God. Do you receive this? Do you trust on it? Do you lean on it? Believest thou this? That is what Christ is doing to us as He waits. He's asking us when He gets there, do you believe me? Do you believe my word? Do you believe that the condition you find yourself in is not impossible for me? Is not that which I come to at the wrong time, even? And He comes that He might direct our faith again to Himself. Our faith has to grow. It doesn't mean that Martha, Mary, Lazarus, of course Lazarus, the miracle was performed upon when he was resurrected, I'm sure his faith was strengthened as well. And the disciples. And what a glorious thing we read that many of the Jews in verse 45, which came to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, believed on Him. Believed on Him. Not to say that the ones that were there were not saved. The disciples and Mary and Martha. They now had to believe for the first time, but their faith was strengthened because of what Christ is doing. In this test, through this time when they were confused, when they were becoming a little bit downcast, maybe a lot downcast. They were weeping. They needed comfort. They cannot understand. That's you and me many times. We don't understand Christ's movements. We understand His delays. We don't understand why it wasn't as we requested. Let me encourage you. Let me encourage myself. Let us not forsake the Lord, our Lord Jesus. Let us not give up His cause. Let us not give up our faith. We may have to say in our prayers as we wait for God's answer, as we wait for the situation to be cleared, as we wait to see when Christ will visit in providential help in our souls and our lives, Lord, I believe, help Thou mine unbelief. We might be wavering. And yet, Jesus all the time is saying, the intent, my dear brother, my dear sister, is that ye might believe. I'm glad that we have these things to draw attention to the Lord, He's saying. Attention to His power. Attention to His grace. Often our requests, I do not know with Mary and Martha, doesn't seem to be implied here, but perhaps. But often our requests, even to the Lord, are more for our own comfort, our own promotion, our own ease, than the glory and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. So much of it is, I will this, and I want it to be this way. I think it's best. Well, Christ can pray that way, because He is the Son of God. And He can say, I will, Father, thus and so. But you and I need to come, do we not, and say, Lord, I want this, but Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Because we need to have our minds raised to Christ. You know, Calvin said on a different text, but he said, in reference to the resurrection, the bodily resurrection, the things that are visual excite us so much more and seem to produce even more faith than things which are unseen. The resurrection was seen by many. Above 500 brethren at once. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15. It's an important thing. And he said, most of whom are still with us. Some are falling asleep, but he said, most are still with us. And Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 15. You could go ask maybe 450 of them, however many it was, they're still alive. What did you see? Was it really Christ? Was it a phantom? Was it a ghost? Was it just an apparition? Was somebody fooling you? And we have holograms today. They didn't have them then, I don't think, but should they have ways of fooling each other? Making things appear real that weren't? But they said no, because they could touch Him. Christ said, here, touch me. Look at the prints. Watch, I can eat. Have a real body. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't careful to get everything just set up right like we have today in some of these so-called faith healings so that it looks real. It's just what, out in the open, public, normal, reasonable, rational, sensible. Or what can be confirmed by the senses. It is a sensible thing. But Calvin said, it is so much of a great power of God, not merely to raise the physical body. It takes just as much spiritual and God-like power to raise the minds of men as it does their bodies. But we look at the, if you will, with me, the last two verses we read, 45 and 46. We mentioned that many of the Jews saw these things, and it says, believed on Him. But verse 46 says, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. In other words, I'm not going to believe that. We go tell the Pharisees, surely there's a way we can get around this. He just can't be right. He's just not the Christ. We often read in the epistles of the mighty power that Christ was raised from the dead with, that God exerts upon us to save us, to enlighten our minds, to bring us into contact with heavenly truths, and to be able to receive them and think on them and reckon on them. Brother, we need this, what Philip Henry calls figurative resurrection, so often. Raising of our minds to Christ, to His person, to His ability, to His love, to His faithfulness, to His ways. We must, as that one in the Song of Solomon waited for her beloved, here these ones, as believers, waited for their beloved Christ to come. Can I exhort us here as we close, that as we look for our figurative resurrection from whatever our troubles may be, let us not resort to other ways, to other means, to other persons. Let us use what Christ has given us, the word and prayer, both publicly and privately, and wait for Him to come. When Martha and Mary saw Christ coming, you know they had some hope then. He said, even now, if you just pray, we know God will give you whatever you ask. Don't let the devil and your own flesh tempt you to impatience. Remember what Romans 15 said, with the patience of the Scriptures, the comfort and patience of the Scriptures, we have hope. Let us know that Christ loves us and He will come in His due time. He will not tarry forever. He has His own plan and His own grace, and He comes with a blessing in it. Even in Hosea, let's return. He has hit us. He's stricken us. He's torn us. But what's He coming to do? If we return, He's coming to heal. He's coming to bind up. He's coming to rise, give us a rising from the dead, from our lethargy, from our impotency. Spiritually, He's coming. He's coming to do it. Well, let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that the words of Christ here, that He waited and He was not there when Lazarus died and put much consternation and confusion as byproducts into the minds and the hearts of Martha and Mary. And yet He wanted to strengthen them. He wanted to gloriously work in their souls, to have their faith even more mighty, to have their confidence and their love to be even more and more close to Him. Lord, to show again that He is the all-wise shepherd. And so, Lord, help us with the Scriptures to have patience and comfort and hope. Lord, revive each one of us that needs it. Lord, strengthen each young believer. And Lord, bring others that may have never been in the first resurrection from the darkness and the death of transgressions and sins into the glorious light and liberty of salvation in Jesus Christ. Bring them to that. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.